Okay, Rabosai, let's see.
That's something I didn't know.
We can open up here. And we can get right into it. Mirtz Hashem. So we're up to Reish Lakish.
Yes.
On Daf Lamed Gimel Amid Beis. Let's just review. We're trying to figure out how to reconcile two Mishnayos. The Mishnah here at the beginning of Eunaris assumes that Baal Achoso pays Knas. The Mishnah in Makkos says that Baal Achoso gets Malkus. So we're trying to figure out how to reconcile these two Mishnayos. And basically the Mahalach was to try to figure out why in our Mishnah here in Eunaris there is no Malkus. And let's say there was no Hasra for Malkus, whereas the Mishnah in Makkos has Hasra for Malkus, and therefore you get Malkus. Now we're going with, let's say, Rabbi Yochanan Shita. So Rabbi Yochanan Shita would be that if there's an overlap of Malkus and Mammon, then you get the Malkus and you don't get Mammon. Hence the Mishnah in Masechta Makkos, which is a case where there was Hasra, he would get Malkus and there would be no Mammon. In our Mishnah, there was here in Ksuvus, there was no Hasra, hence there's no Malkus, and if there's no Malkus, then he pays the Knas. But Reish Lakish has a different way of reconciling the two Mishnayos. So Reish Lakish Omar Hamani Rabbi Meirhi. So you'll see that there are two dots in the Gemara here, and the first word in the line is Vidnika. I would say it's about two-thirds down from the top of the page. Does everybody have that? Reish Lakish Omar? If you don't have it, I'll wait a minute, because it's Kedai that we're all at the same...
Well, I'm there.
Jerry, you have the place? Reish Lakish Omar?
Reish Lakish Omar.
The two dots. Homani Rabbi Meir. Our Mishnah reflects the Shita, the unique Shita of Rabbi Meir. And if that be the case, we can reconcile both Mishnayos, because each Mishnah complements the other Mishnah. In other words, if your question is Baal Achoso, number one, does he get Malkus? And number two, does he pay Mammon? The two Mishnayos should be taken in conjunction, one with the other, and if you get them together, then you have your answer to the Mishnah. The answer to this question of what's going to be the deal, what's the punishment for a Baal Achoso, is going to be a twofold answer. Number one, and that's what the Mishnah Makkos tells me, gets Malkus. And number two, our Mishnah Ksuvus tells me he pays the Knas. And in fact, both are true. Both are true at the same time. He's going to get Malkus, and he's going to pay the Knas.
Wait, that says that both Mishnayot are for the Fi Rabbi Meir.
Correct. Okay. And the two Mishnayos are coming together, reflecting the Shita of Rabbi Meir, answering the question, what's the punishment in the case of Baal Achoso? We get half the picture from the Mishnah in Makkos and the other half the picture from the Mishnah in Ksuvus, but you have to put the two halves together, and two halves make a whole. It's a little bit odd here, and I'm going to point out that the Rishonim have a technical problem. This is challenging mechanically, because why did the Mishnah here in Eunaris give me half the picture and tell me that he pays Knas, and the Mishnah in Makkos gives me half the picture and the Mishnah tells me that he gets Malkus? You know, each Mishnah is sort of in a sense misleading. When you read our Mishnah, you get the impression that he pays Mammon, and that's it, period. That's where the story begins, and that's where it ends. You read the Mishnah in Makkos, and it says he gets Malkus. No mention of Knas. You get the mistaken impression, that he doesn't pay Knas. So I need to put these two Mishnayos together. Somehow Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, when he organized the Mishnayos, he assumed, you know, relying on our scholarship, that we would put the two Mishnayos together as if they were written in one paragraph.
Okay, I'm just curious. I happen to read the Rashi on this one, and he only says that Matnitin, which I understood to be the Mishnah in Ketubot, only that is according to Rabbi Meir. Did I read Rashi wrong?
Let's see.
Hamani.
Hamani. How many lines up is it from the bottom here? About 10? Hamani, this one? Masnisin diktoni baal achoso, that one?
Yeah.
Oh, Hamani masnisin diktoni baal achoso no sin knas. That's our Mishnah, Rabbi Meir, he di omar li el. Okay, we'll get back to that. Loka mishalim.
Does the word matnitin usually mean our Mishnah?
Yeah,
we're doing
here it means our Mishnah. So you're asking, why doesn't Rashi sort of complete the discussion and tell us that the Mishnah in Makis also reflects the sheet of Rabbi Meir? Rashi left out that information.
Right. And as you mentioned, other Rishonim are going with the way you're going, the way you said.
Right.
Okay, I don't know if it's such a killer question.
Yeah, no, let me just think about it.
Okay.
Let's think about it. Do you give me a minute?
All right.
Let's think about this possibility. Let me just read to you a note here from the Shita Mekubetzes.
Okay.
He says the following. Hech nitan lahamid shemishnasenu Rabbi Meirhi Valo b'mishnasenu nemar shebal achoso yesh lov chiv knas umadu lo omra mishnah Shechayev gam kein b'malkus ukmochein koshal a mishnah b'makus madu amra mishnah sheyeshal chiyuv malkus v'lo iskira sheyeshal gam chiyuv knas. So there's no question in my mind that the Shita Mekubetzes, at least, I don't know about Rashi, is learning that both mishnayos complement each other, and therefore he's perplexed. Why is it that our Mishnah left out the information about Makis, and the Mishnah in Masechta Makis left out the information about Knas? We'll see his answer in a minute. But just to enjoy his question, I would say the following: that even Rashi would have to agree. Because again, the purpose of Reish Lakish's goal is to try to reconcile these two Mishnayos. Rashi may be pointing out that in our Mishnah you'd also get Malkus, and the Chiddush of our Mishnah is that he's Chayv Knas, but I think Rashi would also agree that the Mishnah in Malkus would hold that he gets Knas, and we only know the Chayv Knas from our Mishnah. Because that's the whole thrust of Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish wants to tell us that Enoch Hinami in our Mishnah, he would get Malkus. Our premise from the get-go was that there's a principle of Eino Loka Mishalim. You can't get two punishments for the same crime, and therefore if our Mishnah says he pays Knas, it means ipso facto that there's no Malkus. Now the Gemara is introducing Rabbi Meir, Di Omar Loka Mishalim, that in the case of an overlap of Malkus and Mammon, you actually get both punishments. Let me just, for the fun of it, look in the back here. I'm pretty sure that what I'm telling you is correct. That Reish Lakish is trying to answer our original question, is namely to reconcile the two Mishnayos. See, the reason why Rashi puts the emphasis on our Mishnah is because that's the real Chiddush of Reish Lakish, that in our Mishnah he would get Malkus.
Mm-hmm.
But let me just see if by chance in a million, this never helps me, but you never know. Miracles do happen. Does he have anything on this Rashi? No, nothing on this Rashi. The other place you can look is in the Maram. I don't actually have the Maram in this particular edition of the Gemara, but...
Would it be
take
here?
A look. Yeah, definitely you would have the Maram here. It's like the first
I
thing.
I what?
Yeah, it should be the first thing after the Gemara, but I just don't want to waste that precious time here. So that's why I was going to give you this job. So that, you know, we can continue as we look in the Maram. Let's see, the Rosh is here. Oh, this is the Maram here on the bottom. So you take a look on Daf Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis and see if by chance he comments on this Rashi. No, nothing here in the Marshal. Anything here in the Maram? Also not. And the Rush doesn't usually comment on Rashi. Okay. I don't see anything.
I think there's a simpler solution to that. Rashi is indicating that the Mishnah, Bo'al HaKhoso Osim Knas, that's Rabbi Meir. And then he says, Rabbi Yehu, Jama, the El Logo Mishabas, though Hashem Amir, Vidi Le'imachos, Mibe Le'itashkum. That's a reference to the Gemara Lamed Beis, Lamed Beis,
right.
The Mishnah, in which Rabbi Meir is quoted as saying, Lokim Mushalim, She'ein Shelo Hashem, Mivian Le'imachos, Mivian Le'itashkum, and Divi Rabbi Meir. So that's a
rush. I didn't understand your answer.
No, he's saying that there's also Mishnah Masechta Makis. That's the original formulation of Rabbi Meir Shita, that you get both Malkus and Momon.
Mm-hmm.
So I think John is suggesting that maybe when Rashi says Homani Masthisa the Ketoni Bala Chosonosin Knas, Rabbi Meir, he,
the reference is to this Mishnah,
the Mishnah
in Makos.
You think so? I can't believe that, John. I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Because the Mishnah Makos doesn't mention a word about Bo'al HaChoso. In other words, the Mishnah Rabbi Meir, you follow what I mean?
Yeah.
The Mishnah Rabbi Meir in Makos, which is on, I think, Daf Dalet in Masechta Makos, is addressing the question of Edim that testify against someone that he owes his friend Masayim Zutz. And Rabbi Meir says, in such a case, if the Edim becomes Zolbimim, then we hit them with a double punishment. And the Edim will not only pay the accused, the Masayim Zuz, but they'll also get Malkus for violating Losan al Reacha Eid Shoker. That's the Mishnah of Lo Hashem and Rabbi Meir. The Mishnah that we're talking about.
Rashi quotes it. Rashi actually reference.
Correct, but that's not the Mishnah of Bo'al HaChoso. That Mishnah doesn't mention a word about Bo'al HaChoso. So when Rashi says Bo'al HaChoso, he's referring to our Mishnah at the beginning of Elul Naris.
Right.
And what Chaim's pointing out is that the Gemara's question that we're dealing with, and which I think Reish Lakish is addressing, if I understand correctly, is the Mishnah later in Makos about Bo'al HaChoso, and Rashi doesn't seem to mention that Mishnah. Let's take a look at the Gemara back on Daf Lamed Beis.
In the bottom.
Yeah, just give me a second here. I want to find the original Kasha here. Where is it? Oh, Reminu. So this is on Lamed Aleph Amid Beis, and it's four lines up from the bottom. Do you see what it says? Ureminu.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a Mishnah in Makos in the third parak of Makos on Daf Yud Gimel. The Mishnah of Rabbi Meir is on Daf Dalet in the first parak of Makos. And that's the Mishnah that Rashi makes reference to at the end of this Dibra Maskel Ha'amani, when he says Shalom Hashem HaMeviel Yidei Makos Meviel Yidei Tashlumin. That's Rabbi Meir in the Mishnah of two Edom that testified against Reuben that he pays 200 zuz to Shimon, and then they turned out to be Zolomim. And Rashi and Rabbi Meir says that in such case the Edom will suffer double punishment. They'll get both Malkus for Losana, and they'll pay Masayim zuz for Vasisim Lokash Zomim Lasos Liochiv. But nowhere here in this Rashi Hamani does he make reference to the Mishnah on Daf Yud Gimel, which was the original contradiction that we found, that the Mishnah says Bo'al HaChoso, he gets Malkus. But again, I wouldn't make too much of a big deal about this, because I think Rashi's trying to tell you that our Mishnah here in Elul Naris is being Mechadesh, that not only do not only does the Bo'al HaChoso get Malkus, which is obviously a classic lav in the Torah for which you get Malkus, but in addition, you get knas. You have to pay the knas. That's what Rashi's pointing out. That our mission is adding a knas as a piggyback on top of Malkus. So the mission in Makos on Daf Yud Gimel about Bo'al HaChoso is absolutely reconcilable with our mission, because our mission is talking about knas. So I just wanted to add this piece in the Shidim Gubetzes. Why did the Mishnah separate it into two? So he says the following. By separating into two, the Mishnayos, I'll call it Rav Yehuda Nasi, was enlightening us as to the Yesod HaYesodos that underlies Rabbi Meir's Shita, and dafka because of the separation. What does that mean? He says, Ba lahadgish shetaymos Rabbi Meir, the logic of Rabbi Meir that you should get both Malkus and Mammon is that number one, Asiva Shaloka is lo Hashem HaMevi Lidei Tashlumin. Meaning, the reason you get Malkus is because of the love of Lo Sana Briach, I'm sorry, the love of Baal Achoso. Of Baal Achoso. The reason why you pay Tashlumin is because of the Ma'anes, or the Mafate, of Nara, and he pays Knas. Oh, just one second. Oh, now I have the answer to your question, Chaim.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. I had to go around the block three times until I could finally answer your question. The Mishnah in Malkus, Rashi doesn't have to mention, because that's not talking about Enaro. That's talking about Baal HaChoso in general. She could be a Bogeres, she could be a Ketana, she could be a Shota, she could, you know, whatever the cases might be. There would be Malkus. There the Mishnah. Actually, the Mishnah there is coming Lafuke, the Shita Rabbi Yitzchak, who's a Tana. Rabbi Yitzchak Tana. He holds that whenever there's a Chiv Kores, you don't get Malkus. So that Mishnah is listing the Chayavi Kores to teach you that if there was Asrafa Malkus, then Yochinami you get Malkus. Has nothing to do Knas. Rashi doesn't have to. Rashi's not compelled to answer that Mishnah, because that Mishnah is, in and of itself, stands on its own two feet, and it's absolutely smooth. Now, what would be if HaBaal HaChoso had she was a Nara? That's a different story. That's the subject of our Mishnah. And Rashi wants to say, so now Mishnah, why don't you get Malkus? I mean, after all, it's a Baal HaChoso case. And the answer is that in this case, by virtue of the Gzeir Shova, whatever it might be, there's an exception to the rule that you pay Knas and you don't get Malkus. And one of the answers to the question is why you don't get Malkus, for example, if you don't say it's an exception to the rule, is because there was no Asrafa Malkus. Says Reish Lakish, forget about all that. I don't have to interpret our Mishnah that there was no Asrafa Malkus. The reason why there's no Malkus in our Mishnah is because there really is Malkus. Our Mishnah is just coming to add, in the case of Achoso Nara, an additional punishment, an additional chiv, and that's Tashlumei Knas, on top of Malkus. Why? Because our Mishnah is written by Rabbi Meir. Why didn't our Mishnah whisper a word about Malkus? Because the Mishnah, as the Shita Mukbet says, wants to give us a clue as to what the logic of Rabbi Meir is. The logic of Rabbi Meir is, Lo Hashem, that in the case of Baal HaChoso as a lav, as a violation of a lav, because the Torah says you're not allowed to have a relationship with your sister, you get Malkus. Our mission wants to tell you that if it happens to be that your sister was also a Nara, etc., etc., then there's a Knas that has to be paid. The Knas really would be paid to her father, which would be your father as well, right? Because, right. Well, not necessarily. I mean, it could be a maternal sister. But in any event, that's already a whole different shame. That's based on the parasha, not of not an Achiros Kedoshim, you know, of the Arias. That's based on the parasha of Ma'anes and Kiteitze. Mm-hmm. So the two different parashas, two different shemos, two different machayvim, they have to overlap. And that's Rabbi Meir Shita, that you'll get both punishments. Now, at this point, the Gemara is going to make the following assumption, sort of like a leap of faith, that Rabbi Meir, because of this logic of Lo Hashem, is going to completely undermine the whole principle of Kim Levi the Rabbi Mineh. Meaning, every single time that there's Kim Levi the Rabbi Mineh, let's say Mis and Mammon, Malkus and Mammon, Mis and Malkus, there's always going to be a Lo Min Hashem. It's always going to be because of two different parashas, two different Averis that overlap. So like remember the classical Gemara that we had before when he was Zorik Chetz, the Karashi Raim Shel Kamer. So one is the parasha of Melech HaShavis, Hotzah, and the other is the parasha of Mazik. I mean, that's Lo Min Hashem. So now the Gemara asks, E Rabbi Meir, if you're going to tell me that our Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Meir, let's open up the Sefer of our Mishnah. The Sefer of our Mishnah says that in the case of a father who has a relationship with his own daughter, there is no knas. Why is that so? According to Rabbi Meir, Afilu al Bito Nami, he should be paying the knas. which means basically that Rabbi Meir rejects Kimlev the Rabbi. And you'll ask me, why does Rabbi Meir reject Kimlev the Rabbi? And the logic is because Lo Min Hashem. The man violated the Isra Arayas of Baal Bito, and that's in the parish of Arayas. He violated the Knas of Ma'anes and so forth in the parish of Kiteitse. There happens to be an overlap in one Maisa, but there's no reason why we shouldn't impose upon him both Chiyuvim. But if that be the case, why does the Mishnah say that Baal Bito, he doesn't pay Knas? The answer is because Baal Bito is Chayv Misa. Well, now you see that that Rabbi Meir holds that does accept Kimlei the Rami, and the Gemara assumes that if he accepts Kimlei the Rami in the case of a Chiyuv Misa to knock off a Chiyuv Mamon, he should have applied the same principle of Kimlei the Rami in the case of Malkus to knock off a Chiyuv Mamon. The Chi Tamen, if you'll say maybe there's a difference between Misa and Malkus, Rabbi Meir would hold Loka Mishalim Misle, but Mesa Mishalim Lesle. In other words, let's call it this way, the power of Misa is so severe that it could overshadow and neutralize any other Chiyuvim like Mammon. But the power of Malkus is less severe, it's not so radical, it's not so profound, and therefore he could be Chayiv Mammon and Malkus at the same time. And in fact, the case of Rabbi Meir, which is recorded in the Mishnah, where you get both Malkus and Mammon, which is the case of Adam Zomimim, is only a case of Malkus. You know, we don't find that Rabbi Meir went on record anywhere that Misa and Momon, he would get both punishments at the same time. So the Gemara is offering now a way out here, a very logical possibility that Misa is so severe, so profound, that even Rabbi Meir would agree it knocks off the Chi of Momon. So therefore the Mishnah of Bito makes a lot of sense. But the Gemara says, L'chor, we cannot maintain that. V'lo? And are you, this is like a rhetorical question, and are you really serious about this? Even, can you really say that Misan Tashlumin, Rabbi Meir holds that Kim Levi the Rabbi, and you don't pay the Tashlumin? V'asanya, I'll prove to you from a brisa that Rabbi Meir's position is such that even in a case of Misa, you're going to pay Tashlumin. You know, it's the principle of Lo Min Hashem applies even with regard to Misa Umamun. And basically, Rabbi Meir rejects entirely Kim Levi the Rabbi. That's what we want to prove from this Bryce. That Rabbi Meir rejects Kim Levi the Rabbi even in the case of Misa, which again is going to resurrect from the dead our question about Baal Bito, because if the Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Meir, why in the case of Baal Bito do you not pay Knas? You should be paying Knas. And now the Gemara is going to get into the case of Tvicha. Tvicha following Gneva, which means that if someone steals an ox or a lamb and then he shechts it, so not only does he pay kefel, which you would pay for any object that you steal, but in addition, the Torah says you have to pay what's called arba v'chamisha, even four times its problem, five times its problem. It depends whether it was a shor, whether it was a set. We can get into all that, but I just want to get the basic structure. So now we have a classic chiv mamon of ganav paying arba v'chamisha because not only did he steal the shor and the set, but he also shechted it. Guess what? He shechted it on Shabbos. Now, the malacha of Netilas Neshama, or in the Mishnah's language, actually it's called Shochet, generates a Chiyuv Misa. So look what happens over here. With one Maisa Tvicha on Shabbos, on a stolen Shor or Seh, he engenders two different Chiyuvim. One is a Chiyuv Misa, and the other is a Chiyuv Mamon. Here's another case which could happen even during the weekday, where he engenders with one tvicha both a chiyuv misa and a chiyuv mamon. Gana v'tovach la'avodas kochavim. Right, one of the four avodos for which you chayv misa and avodas kochavim is shechting an animal. So you slaughter an animal for the sake of avodas zara. You know, afterwards you're going to take it and you're going to burn it on an altar, whatever you're going to do with it. And now you chayev misa for violating avodah zarah. On top of that, you chayev dal v'hei because of God of Atavah. Now we have another case. Okay, this last case is a little bit different. That's not relevant to our discussion about Kim Levi the Rav Mine, but it's going to be a major sugya unto itself because Ksubas has called Tarkul in it. Ganav shara niskal utvacho mishalim tashlumi arba v'chamisha. Now, Shara Niskal is Osir Bahanah, once this Gemara did. Right? So the Shara killed a human being, and then we're going to put the Shara to death by stoning. this man, before they got a chance to stone the shor, he stole the shor. And then he went in and he shechted the shor. And Rabbi Meir here in this brisa is maintaining that he pays arba v'chamisha. Now normally a ganav is chayav for something that's shava pruta, right? He stole something of value, and then if it was an animal that's worth whatever, and then he shechted, he pays dalet v'hei. Here it's a shor niskal. So this is a big chiddush of Rabbi Meir. The Gemara is going to rack its brains trying to figure it out, because lechora in the case of shor niskal, it's also ranoah. To whom is he paying? It's not worth a dime. It has no shavis of a pruta because it's also bano. That's a sugya unto itself, which Belineda will get to. We're interested in the first two cases, that of Tavach b'Shabbos and that of Tavach l'Avodas Kol Chavin. And in both these cases, Rabbi Meir says that he pays dal vehei. Chachom potrin. Chachom say, how could you make him pay dal vehei? He's chayv misa. We have principle kimlev the ramine. But it's clear from this brisa that Rabbi Meir rejects kimlev the ramine, even in a case of a chayv misa. So if there's an overlap of both a chayv misa because of the tvicha was for violation of Shabbos over Avodah Zarah, and a chayv mamon because he was gone to tovach a dal vehei, the lo min hashem. This is two shemos here. They happen to overlap in one mice, and he paid, and he's going to suffer both punishments. So we see clearly that according to Rabbi Meir, the Chiyuv Misa does not patter him up from Tashlumin. So therefore, what's going to be with the Mishnah of Baal Albito? Why does the Mishnah say Baal Albito? He doesn't pay Knas. If that Mishnah is attributed to Rabbi Meir.
When you say the Mishnah of Baal Albito, you mean our Mishnah at the beginning of the parish?
Well, you know, the Mishnayis are different than the way we have them in Shas. So if you would open up a real Mishnayis, you would see Baal Albito. I think in our Gemara, they separated it and split the Mishnah in half. So the Mishnah of Baal Albito, I think, is on Lamed Vav, if I'm not mistaken. See if you can find. But that's only for printing purposes. It has nothing to do with Mishnayis.
I see. Okay.
You found it, Baal Albito? It should be on Lamed Vav, I think.
Lamed Vav Amud Bet.
Velu
She'en Lam Kanas.
Excellent. Velu She'en Lam Kanas. And the author of our Mishnah, which is printed on this page, is the same as the author of this Mishnah, which is printed on this page. In the original Mishnayos, they're not printed on two pages. It's all one Mishnah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, now, what we're about to embark upon is a sugya which is called Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera. Now, what does Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera has to do with our sugya, right? That's what you can ask me. So it's really, you know, through the back door over here. And it's all based on a statement of Rabbi Yochanan. Now, there's a long train here of names. You know, it takes up half the page. Yeah, I'm exaggerating, but Ha'itmar Allah, we have a commentary on this brisa, which was Rabbi Yaakov in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Others say it was Rabbi Yirmiya in the name of Reish Lakish. Rabbi Ovin, Rabbi Elah, and all the Chaburah said it in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, so and now that we got all the names out of the way, Amri, what do they say? Our Brisa that we're studying now about Dalet Vehei is B'toveach al Yidei Acher. What it means is that Reuven stole a shor, and he appointed Shimon as his shliach to shecht the shor. So it works like this. Reuven is the ganav, Shimon is the toveach. And what's going to happen is that Shimon is going to get put to death for violating Shabbos or Avodah Zarah. Reuven is going to pay dalet v'chamisha because shlucho shel adam kimosa, because we're going to attribute the tvicha, the shechita, to Reuven as if he himself did the shechita. Now, as far as Shabbos is concerned or Avodah Zarah, that's what you call, we can have a long discussion about this, mitzvah sheva gufo. There's no shlichus here, you know. You know, the one who violates the Shabbos with his physical body, the one who worships the Avodah Zarah with his physical body, he's going to be Chayav Misa. And in this case, the Shliach. Again, the Shliach was an idiot, if you pardon the expression, for listening to the Mishaleach and fulfilling his. So he's considered totally guilty. Nobody coerced him. He's not an onus. He made an intellectual decision that he's going to go ahead and shecht the animal. So he's Chayav Misa. Wait just one second. On the other hand, and that's what Rabbi Meir is going to insist on, the Ganov is going to pay dalet vehet, because as far as tvicha is concerned, with regard to gneva, no, it's tvicha as a culmination of gneva, there is shlichus, and shlichus shalom kamosa. So as far as violating the Shabbos or avodas k'zomer, there's no shlichus. But as far as the tvicha of gneva, which for which the Torah says he slap you with a chiyuv of 400-500%, there is shlichus, and the Gemara is going to go wild over this. How could it possibly be that Shimon is going to pull off a shechita, and Reuven, who sent him as his emissary, Reuven is going to be the one to pay the fine? This makes no sense. So, but again, what we want to know is, before we try to make sense out of it, just get the facts on the ground. The Gemara is saying the following: V'toveach al yedei acher. The Ganav himself did not implement the tvicha. He commanded someone else, his shliach, to do the tvicha, to do the shechita. The chiyuv misa is going to be on the shliach. The chiyuv arba v'chamisha, paradoxically, is going to be on the Ganav, because it's as if shlucho shaladim kemosa, the Ganav himself did the shechita. That's the chiddush of Rabbi Meir over here. So we're not talking about a case of kimlei v'derabimine. Kimlei v'derabimine means when one person is subject to two punishments. There's an overlap on his head. Here, as far as the chiv misa is concerned, that has nothing to do with the ganav. The shliach himself is going to be chayv misa. The ganav has only one chiv through shlichus. He's chayv dal vehei. But Eino Chinami, we can come back to our original position that, according to Rabbi Meir, in a case of misa, you would not pay tashlumin because of kim lev d'ramine. Hence, in the case of Baal Bito, he doesn't pay knas, according to Rabbi Meir, even according to Rabbi Meir. Although, again, Baal Achoso, according to Rabbi Meir, he'll get malchus, and at the same time, he'll pay knas. But Baal Bito, where he's chayv misa, here Rabbi Meir agrees, kim lev d'ramine, he will not pay knas. And everything fits into a neat package. I have this brisa that seems to indicate that you're chayav misa and you pay dalet vehei. No, the chayav misa is not on the ganav. The chayav misa here is on the shliach. Again, Vush state, where does it say in the brisa that he sent the shliach to do the tvicha? I don't know. I don't see it in the brisa. But Rabbi Yochanan was so hard pressed. How can it be in this brisa that the man is chayav misa and yet he pays dalet vehei? Even Rabbi Meir, who holds that Malka Mishalim, would agree that misa is part of, that if a person is chayav misa, he's part of tashlum. It must be that someone else was chayav misa. Who else is chayav misa in this brisa? The answer is he sent the shliach. So now the Gemara is going to analyze this whole mechanics. Yeah.
Both Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shlokish agree.
Finally, we have an agreement. That's good. That's good news. If you come to my Sanhedrin Shiur, John, you'll see that if you could make a shalom between two opposing parties, that's great. And if the Israeli government would figure that out, maybe we'd have a government. Anyway, they're working on that. Yeah, I'm telling you, it gets more and more messy every day. Every day that passes, you know. I'm telling you right now, Netanyahu is not a shoo-in in the next election. He's got major problems here. Major problems, because Lieberman is going to go with the other guys now.
Strange.
With your guys, I call. Yeah. You must be very happy that John Lushy does.
If you can figure it out, I can.
So anyway, let's get back into the sugya. I'm sorry for the batol. Okay. So he says like this: Fekti Gemara v'chizeh chote. How could it be that the shliach does the tvicha and the ganav is going to pay dalet vehei as if he did the shliach, he did the tvicha? We have a principle of ein shliach l'dvar avera. In fact, minei ubei see that ein shliach l'dvar avera, because as far as Shabbos is concerned, who's going to be chayav misa? It's the shliach who's chayav misa. So why do you say no? But as far as dalet vehei, it's the ganav who's chayav dalet vehei, meaning the action of tvicha relates back to the mishalech, to the ganav. Omar Rava says that this case of tvicha is the exception to the rule. Normally, 99 out of 100 cases, ein shliach l'dvar avera. So you list all the averas. You have 365 averas in the Torah. So 364 out of 365, ein shliach l'dvar avera. And the principle, zechote v'zeh mischayev. Lo, I mean, we don't say zechote v'zeh mischayev. But here we're going to say zechote v'zeh mischayev. Why? Because it's a special drasha. And there are three different drushes here. We'll start with Rav. But they all come to the same exact conclusion that there is shlichus in tvicha mechira. Omer Achmono, when the Torah says that the ganav pays dal vehei, it says utvacho o mecharo. So this is in Shmos Perek Chaf Aleph. It says ki ignov ishar Oseh utvacho o mecharo chamisha bakar yishalem tachas hashor v'arbetzon tachas ha-seh. So it says utvacho o mecharo. Now Rava sees a hekish here between tvicha and mechira. Ma mechira al yidei acher. There's no way you can sell something, any object, without having a lokeach, having a buyer. So you need someone else to join you in setting up this mechira.
Wait, the acher is not an agent, middleman to sell it.
Not at all.
Buyer.
Not at all. I understand what bothers you. It bothers me too. This is a strange kind of hekish. But let's just get by. Let's just get by the first level, the first layer of pshat.
Okay.
So yidei acher means the following. You can't sell something without the participation of a buyer. And that's called al yidei acher. You know, you need a partnership here. It's not a one-man show. Is af tvicha al yidei acher. When the Torah says the word tvicha, it means tvicha dumya de mechira, similar to mechira. It's al yidei acher. But who's the acher in the case of shechita? I mean, you know, you could have said maybe they're both holding on to the knife. But the Gemara is saying that no, there's only one person holding on to the knife and implementing the shechita, and that's the tovea. So what is the Torah saying that he pays dalet vehei? The answer is he is chayav because he sent, he appointed, the ganav is chayav to dalet vehei because he appointed this tovea as a shliach. So again, what do we derive from Rava's drasha? That although in all cases, all averus, we say ein shlichus l'dvar avera, in the case of tvicha, there is shlichus l'dvar avera. Now, it could be, Chaim, to address your question, that what happens when the ganav steals something, a shor and a seh, and he sells it? He pays dalet vehei. I saw you stated in pasuk.
Right.
Now, he didn't do that as a one-man show. I admit that the lokech is not a shliach,
right.
But nevertheless, he did it together with the buyer, and for that he's chai. For his participation, setting up the mechira, he pays dalet vehei. It could be, again, I don't know. This is very speculative. That what Rav is trying to tell you here, and derive from mechira, is that the chiyuv dalet vehei is for the result and not for the action. Meaning, if the maisa was a maisa machayev, like in every other avera, then in the case of mechira, we have something very odd, because you yourself, the ganav himself, is not actually implementing the maisa. In fact, again, I don't know if I have to go this far, but just to sort of, shall we say, demonstrate this, the kinyan itself is implemented by whom? Who has to do the maisa kinyan in every mechira?
The buyer.
The buyer, right. The mocher is really just supplying what we call das makna. And he tells him, lechazeku kni. I mean, that's actually in karka, but I'm saying in metaltal, and he tells him, make a kinyan, meshichat ba, or mesira, whatever it might be. So how could it be that the Torah says that the ganav is chayv for the aver of mechira, and he pays dalet vehei, when he doesn't even do the maisa mechira? The answer is that in halacha we always differentiate between the action and the totza'ah, and the result of the action. Mm-hmm. So what's the mechayev of dalet vehei? Says Rava, I'm going to prove to you from mechira that the mechayev is not the maisa but the totza'ah. Because if it was the maisa, you could hardly blame, you know, put the guilt on the shoulders of the ganav, simply because he's not really... Maybe he's an active agent, but he's not the key active agent. The answer is the mechayev here is that you set up the mechira. It's bad enough that you stole someone's cow. Now you passed it on to someone else. Now someone, you know, then. So he says tvicha also. I never would have said this. I would have said tvicha is the maisa tvicha. Nay, the equation to mechira means that tvicha al yidei acher. If you are the cause, you are the source from which this mechira, this tvicha ultimately was implemented, you're chai for that tvicha. Not for the maisa tvicha, but for the totzah. And maybe what we're going to say is like this: ain shlichus varavera, because the mechayev is the maisa. There's no shlichus on a maisa avera. But in a case where the avera is not the maisa, but the totzah is a maisa, then we would say yesh shlich l'dvar avera. Like for example, in Me'ila, the Gemara says, "Don't ask me where I didn't learn Masechta Me'ila, so I saw it elsewhere. Maybe it's in Bava Metzia, no, more likely it's probably in Kiddush. Anyway, the Gemara says that there's shlichus in Me'ila. So for example, if this a bottle of oil belongs to Hegdesh, and I say to you, do me a favor, Chaim, take this bottle of oil, pour it on my animal and smear it or something. So I'm Chayev, Kerev Chomish, whatever the Chiv Me'ila is. I ain't Shlichus. The answer is, Yesh Shlich Le Me'ila. It could be that here too, like Neva, the Me'ila is not the Maisa Me'ila that's Mechayev, it's the Totsas Me'ila, the fact that you took Hegdesh and you used it for Chulin. So if you were the one who set that up and you appointed someone, now we get to another drasha, the Bei Rabbi Yishmael Tana, oh, he builds it on the extra word oh. It's the Torah says, Utvacho O Mechara, L'Rabos Es HaShliach. So he has a footnote here in which he tries to figure out why, this is the Rashash, why the word O here is considered superfluous. Tevas O Miuteres. Why? Because the Torah could have just used what's called a Kitzer Lashon, a Derech HaKotzer, and it could have said Utvacho, Umachara. It didn't have to say O Machara. So it comes out that there's only one extra letter here, according to the Rashash, if I understand correctly. That's the Aleph. It could have said Ut. So what is the extra O is coming to teach us? L'Rabos Es HaShliach.
Amazing. It's just...
Right. These are parts of the sugya that when I prepare for the shiur, I de-emphasize. I'm guilty of that. I'm admitting my guilt here. You know, if I was a good Magid Shir, I would spend hours trying to figure out how these drushes work. But I don't know, my mind works more like in conceptual halacha. So I, you know, when I see drushes, that's why when I taught Daf Yomi, it was like murder for me. Because I, if you ask me, I would say 40% of Shas is drushes. And I don't think I'm exaggerating. Masechta Kiddushin, for example, I try to teach Daf Yomi, it's all drushes, and they drive me nuts. I mean, you have to be an absolute expert in Hilchos drushes, you know, to really, and you have to spend hours of your time. So my mind is not built for drushes. Anyway, the Beit Chizkiya, Tony, this is the third drusha, and he has, let's go back to the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Chamisha Bakar Yishalem, Tachas Hashar, V'arba Tzon, Tachas Haseh. And he says, Tachos is L'Rabos Es HaShliach. And once again, the Rashash says that the Torah could have said Yishali without the word Tachas, and we would have understood the word Tachas. So the bottom line is that there are three different drushes that come to the exact same conclusion. That if the Ganav appoints a Shliach to do the Tvicha, the Ganav is going to pay Dalet V'Heh. Hence, there's no stira here between the assumption that according to Rabbi Meir, Kimlev the Ramani applies in the case of Misa, and yet the price of Rabbi Meir says that Ganav Utov for Shabbos he pays Tashlumei Dal Vehei. What happened to the Chiv Misa? The answer is the Shliach who did the Tvicha, he's the one who's Chayav Misa. And as far as the Mishalech is concerned, he's only Chayav Dal Vehei for the Tvicha. I ain't Shliach Levar Vera. The exception to that rule is Tvicha. Maskifle, Marzutra, Mi, Kamididilu, Ovad, Iu, Loma Chayav, Yavad Shliach Machayav. Here's an interesting limitation, a restriction rule in the laws of Shlichus. The mechanics of Shlichus are such that if I send you as a Shliach, then I would be in the same situation and I send you as a Shliach. You know, all the repercussions of this action would I could generate myself, but instead I send you as a Shliach. Now watch what happens here. In the case of Kimlev the Rabmine, meaning in the case of Shchita on Shabbos or Shchita on Avodah Zarah, there's no way, no how, that the Ganav himself, had he not sent a Shliach, could be Chayav Dalet V'Heh. Why? Because had he done this action himself, he'd be Chayav Misa. And if he's Chayav Misa, holding now that according to Rabbi Meir, we apply Kim Le'Ramine. Now he sends a Shliach, and he's going to become Chayav, meaning he's Chayav for Dalet V'Heh. How could he send a Shliach to be Chayav for Dalet V'Heh for the Maisa Tvicha that's done by the Shliach? If the Mishalech himself, the Ganav, would have done the Maisa Tvicha, he would not have paid Dalet V'Heh. And here the Gemara gives a lavdish answer. The Gemara says, Iu, had he done the Tvicha himself, Lav Mishum Delo Machayev. It doesn't mean that he's not Chayev to pay Dalet V'Heh, had he done the Tvicha himself. he would be chayav to pay dalveh, except there's another blockage here. What's that blockage? El Mishum de Kimlev the Rabbi, the Torah says, you know what? He's going to suffer the greater punishment. He's going to get Misa for violating Avodah Zorah, for violating Shabbos.
I was waiting for this phrase to actually appear.
This is so beautiful, because the Mefarshim here quoted Gemara in Bav Metzia. The Gemara says in Bav Metzia that even after Kim Leib and the Rabbi made, in Bo Lotze Sidei Shamayim, he should actually pay the money. That's on Daf Tzadi Aleph. So you see clearly that he's really chayv to pay the money. We're not going to implement that chiyuv because we're busy putting him to death. But in the theoretical universe, conceptually, he's chayv mama. So therefore, if he's chayv mama, then he can send a shliach, because he himself, had he done the tefichah, he'd be chayav mamon. L'maisi wouldn't pay the mamon, because we're going to put him to death for violating Shabbos or Avodah Zarah. And this is all before Tosus Dibra Maskil Lav. Tosus in Dibra Maskil Lav rejects this explanation. And he says that when it says in Bav Metzia that there's something called Baal Lotzei Sidei Shamayim, he says that only applies to what's called a chiyuv mamon. It doesn't apply to a chiyuv knas. In the case of a chiyuv knas, then there is no balotzei sidei shamayim. Why? Because a chiyuv knas depends upon bezin, totally upon bezin. If there's a chiyuv mamon, let's say I destroy your shirayim, so then I have to pay you for that. But balotzei sidei shamayim, I have to pay you even though there's a chiyuv misa here. But in a case of a knas, like dalet vehei, that chiyuv doesn't even exist in the universe. It's a davar shelo bo le'olam. It's like a futures. Why? Because it's a knas, and a knas requires bezin. In this case, Bezdin could only create a chiyuv misa, they cannot create a chiyuv mama. So it's very lumdish Tosus here. So Tosus now has to re-explain, reinterpret the Gemara. And he says that the meaning of this Gemara is that he was royalist chayiv mama.
He was what?
Ra'ui lit chayiv mama. In other words, he's really not chayiv mama, because we're talking about a knas here, and Bezdin, no way that Bezdin could institute a knas. So he's not chayiv. But he's roi, meaning as far as the action per se and the avera element here, he should be paying dalet vehei. If not for the fact that he was also mischayev benafsha for another avera that he did, namely violated Shabbos or Avodah Zarah, but leaving out that, in and of himself, his maisa, had he done the shechita himself, the ganav would be chayev mamon. Therefore, he's mischayev mamon al yedei shliach. So basically, the difference here between the two approaches to this Gemara is one approach says that had he done the shechit himself on Shabbos, he would be chayav, just that we can't collect it, but b'bol lotzei sidei shamayim, has to cough it up. The other approach says, no, we're talking about a knas, there's no b'bol lotzei shamayim, so he's not really chayav that moment. But theoretically, as far as the maisa machayav is concerned, he did a maisa machayav. It's just it happens to be that he also did a violation of Shabbos, so that's why he's not chayiv. But as far as his action is concerned, he should have been chayiv dal vehei, and therefore he can send the shliach. Now I'm just going to read the next few lines without interpreting them, because we're on the verge of a gigantic sugya now. Even tovech al yedei acher, my tamayu the rabbanon the patre. We always thought that the rabbanon said he doesn't pay dal vehei because of kim leib the rabbi minay. But now you've interpreted this price as referring to a case. This was Rabbi Yochanan and all his chabura as a case of tovech al yedei acher. He sent a shliach to do the tvicha. If that be the case, the chiyuv misa is on the shliach, and the chiyuv mamon is on the chiyuv mamon of dal vehei is on the mishalech, on the ganav. So why should the rabbanon exempt him from paying dal vehei? Again, you could always assume that the rabbanon hold there's no such thing as shlichus in the case of tficha b'chiyuv. But the Gemara says if that be the case, then the machlokas should have been about shlichus. They don't argue about shlichus. They only argue about whether we can impose a chiyuv mama. And the Gemara answers, man chachamim, who are the chachamim? The chachamim are Rabbi Shimon. And this takes us to the beginning of Daf Lamed Dalet.
I've never seen that before.
See
that we
what?
Give a that we translate the word chachamim or rabbanan to an individual. Is this a Karolan Shabbos?
Yes, very often. In other words, when there's a machlokas two tanoim, and we find another brisa or mishnah in the chachamim, we'll say the chacham hold like one of those two tanoim. Okay then?
Okay.
So even though we're smack in the middle of a sugya, but there is a little bit of a pause in the sugya. So
okay, thank you.
That's what we're going to do. We'll pick it up tomorrow.